Good afternoon, Julie.
Oh, good afternoon.
Now, I believe you set yourself a personal challenge a few years back regarding to public spaces. So what was this?
Well, I found myself hunched over my phone whenever I was sitting in public spaces. I'm a lecturer in public art, so observing what goes on around us, you know, when we're outside our own personal intimate spaces is of interest to me. And so I decided that I should look up and look around and see how things have changed.
And what was your inspiration for this?
Part of it was about changing my own behaviour and being concerned that people were constantly, me included, looking down. And secondly, when I did look up, I all of a sudden realised there was this rich world of images that I hadn't anticipated.
Yeah, definitely. I think it does come into play as well with a lot of people seem to be quite glued to their phones, to their devices. So it's interesting how you can take it from the perspective that people really are missing out.
Well, yes. I mean, in the end, I decided that that was very much the case. I suppose, you know, I just thought, oh, well, I'll just look around until I see something that I haven't noticed before. It's a little task I set myself all of the time, is to, you know, to seek out the overlooked, because, you know, you can walk past the same thing over and over again every day and you just don't see it unless somebody draws attention to it. So what was compelling for me was that the tram that I caught to work every day all of a sudden was just full of rich detail that I'd never ever noticed. And I thought that I'd reached the limits of what I could see, and then, you know, every week or so I'd discover something else that was, I found, intriguing. Having said that, you know, all of the images and the observations I made were on very much at a macro level, so it's about really looking at the fine grain of the world rather than out the window, so to speak, or, you know, up in the air at the buildings. It's really in the very, very detailed observation that I became very intrigued.
Yeah, definitely. Because sometimes when you are looking at things as well, you're kind of just skimming through. You're not really paying attention. But when you really focus on something, it's amazing how much you actually realise more about it than you ever thought.
Yeah, I think so. And I think that, you know, because we've got so much information and the world is so image rich, you know, both on our devices, but also, you know, as we live in a more complex global world, essentially, that it's easy just to sort of gobble it down, you know, and not take the time to really see nuance, I suppose, because, you know, the real pleasures, I think, does come into the detail. But if we're just swiping, then it's just become forgettable, actually.
Yeah,
it definitely. It all becomes a big blur.
And what aspects of your life would you say have changed since you've set yourself this challenge?
I'd like to say that I'm, you know, completely reformed. I still hunch over my mobile phone. I read the newspaper on it. I do have an Instagram account, but I have a book, I have a photo book, and I also know a lot more about the importance of boredom. So since embarking on this project, I have actually made sure that I do make enough time in my day to just sit and daydream, because that's where the real creative opportunities come to you, and that's without even trying.
And there is this term non-places, which does refer to this topic as well. So can you give a little bit of explanation of what this actually refers to?
Well, it was a term coined by Marc Auger, a sociologist and writer. And it was his observation about how there are more and more in a global world, there are these places that that are there and we pass through them, but they're not really places that we reside. So obviously airports, railway stations, waiting rooms and so on. And they have a particular kind of environmental quality where, you know, they're made to endure large volumes of people and they lack personality. And he talked about how they're not places where people's histories can stick, so to speak, that, you know, the suburbs or the cities, you know, people's experience of them are quite subjective, and so they can hold memory and events happen there, but places like airports or as I said, waiting rooms and so on, they're just places where people have to endure, and they have a certain aesthetic and sort of visceral quality to them. So in that sense, you know, my photo series, it very much addresses that idea. I mean, most people think that non-places are just dreadful places and they have no redeeming quality. However, I suppose what I did was discover that they did. And as I said, it was in the fine grain of the details.
Yeah, definitely. And also, looking down at your phone, it can have negative effects on your social life, but perhaps more importantly, it can also harm you physically. So what are the physical dangers associated to this?
Well, a lot of... when I was researching, you know, an article about the book, back pains and neck pains and poor sleep and all manner of cognitive and problems with concentration, which I have to say I'm very much in that league, which is, you know, another reason I think that I try to now implement a regime of just looking and looking out. And part of what I discovered in the process of this project is that if you're bored, you know, a bored brain is a seeking brain, and so a different part of your brain kicks in and you find some way to entertain yourself. So not looking at my screen has meant that I have been more productive creatively, I believe.
Yeah, definitely. Well, you have brought up some good issues as well about how we kind of, if we look away from our phones, we can kind of see a different perspective on life. And thank you so much for joining us on the show.
That's a pleasure. Thank you for having me.